Hello and welcome to another episode of Grumpy Old Gay Men and Their Dogs. It is episode 118 here in the Zen Room, day 164. My name is Patrick Finn, and I am here with the voluptuous Tommy Gibbons.
Hi, bitches.
And how are you tonight, Tommy?
I'm okay tonight.
Yeah?
Yeah, how are you?
That's a good thing. I'm doing very well, thank you.
That's nice.
Yeah, started Othello rehearsals this week.
Rehearsals?
Yes, rehearsals for Othello. What's that?
When does it open?
End of July. I think it's like July 28th is our first show.
Oh, you see my friend Rohan?
Yes, I have. Rohan Lawrence playing the lead.
He's a good boy. I love him.
Yes, I guess I got to tell him to speak up all the time.
Yeah, maybe.
Very so. Like the two most soft-spoken males playing Othello and Iago.
No, whose fault is that?
Mine.
No. So, okay.
And they need to be loud because they got to be outside competing with cars and bars and trains.
Sounds like a Dr. Seuss book. Cars and bars and trains.
Yes. So how was your opening of Clue?
It's closed.
It's closed
Which
already.
Was better, yeah.
Yeah, it ran well.
It was much better than it should have been.
Okay.
Considering how complicated that show is.
Yeah.
Like, just the props alone.
Yeah.
59 sound, separate sound cues.
Oh, my God.
A score. It has a score. Now, this is a play. This is not a musical.
Oh, it's not the musical. Okay.
No, this is a play. And it's the high school edition of the play.
Okay.
So there's some stuff that's not in it, but usually for the high school editions, they don't really trim too much.
Yeah.
All right. So, but it's just, it's a very small space. Teenagers can be rather large people.
Yes, they can.
And they are all clumsy. It was technically, it was a very complicated joke to do. And yeah, so, but it happened. It
went good.
I had a chance. Blah, 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 blah. It's over now, and it's just memories, and none of this stress matters anymore.
That's a good thing, until your next theatrical project.
Yes, which will may kill me.
Why is that?
Because it's with you.
I'm just the artistic director.
All right.
Steven will be the one who might kill you.
Okay.
He's the executive producer of the theater.
No, I'm easy.
Well, we know that.
I'm easy. I'll do the whole thing for seven. I'll get the whole thing. It costs you $75 to do the whole fucking show. Yeah.
Oh, dear. Well, I guess then.
I passed a kidney stone.
You passed a kidney stone?
At work.
What was that experience like?
Well, it's never pleasant.
Okay.
It's not the first time. Nor is it even the first time I've done it not in a hospital situation. Because I've been hospitalized over kidney stone.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
How many times have you had kidney stones?
Well, I have kidney stones.
Okay.
Okay, it's when they decide to migrate that becomes an issue.
Ah.
If they were to fucking stay in the kidney, that'd be fine.
Yes.
So now the little fuckers have to travel. So Friday night, I'm leaving the theater after the show, and I peed, and I noticed that there was a little more reddish color in the pee than there should be.
Oh, dear.
Then I took a quick inventory, and I was like, I don't feel anything. I'm not in pain. I peed.
Yeah.
So there's no blockages.
Okay.
Nothing stung. It wasn't like
it. Oh, you know. Sure.
So, I don't know what the hell it was. It was a regular pee. So I go home and I wake up the next morning.
Okay.
Saturday morning. I have a matinee and a night show. Puking.
Ooh.
Puking nonstop and sitting on the toilet with the feeling that you have to poop.
Okay.
You can't poop.
Yes.
So
I think many of us are familiar with that feeling.
It wasn't constipation.
I know.
So I recognized that for what it was.
Okay.
And I took a nap and I called work and I said, you're going to have to do the first show without me. I will be there. So I get there. We do the first show. Everything is fine. Second show. Halfway through the second show, I pass a fucking stump.
Oh, God.
I'm peeing in the bathroom. I'm like,
No.
But it was, it wasn't like Seinfeld, you know, where he's howling and screaming across the hall?
Yes.
It wasn't that bad. It was just...
That would have been me if that ever happened to me.
And by the time it passed, it was small enough to just... Like, I felt it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, most of my peas are not crunchy. And all of a sudden, like, this thing. And I'm like, oh! And I looked down, and there it was.
Do you save all the stones
no,
after
I don't
they pass?
Save them? I don't save... Why on earth would I save them?
I'm sure some people might.
Yeah, I guess they might, you know. not like I'm going to make a pair of drop earrings out of it or a nice choker.
Have you ever been told why you have so many kidney stones?
No, but I've been told why kidney stones exist. It's something, there's like a whole bunch of different reasons.
Okay.
Calcium is one of them.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Do you drink enough water?
When I was, I'm drinking enough water to move the sons of bitches.
Okay, well, that's good, I guess.
When I first had him in South Carolina, the first time, I was in the hospital, and he said, we took an x-ray, and you have a kidney stone the size of a pencil eraser.
Oh, my God.
So, I think it has been all of these years, that stone.
Yeah.
That is breaking up and moving in pieces. So, yeah.
Wow.
It was fun. It made Saturday an interesting day.
I'm sure it did.
You know, and yet it was a completely mundane occurrence. I was just peeing and I felt this little thing, and I looked down. It wasn't like I was screaming, and I looked down and there it was.
So, that's really weird.
Yeah. Well, no, it's happened to me before.
Well, yeah, like, it's never happened to me. So, yeah.
But it is a weird thing. It is a weird fucking
thing. I would imagine.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine passing a stone through your penis. It's just,
Yeah, I know. I know exactly what you mean.
Oh, God.
The whole idea.
Please, no.
It's like catheters.
Yeah.
That whole idea.
Yeah, I know. Right? I've had that experience.
I don't like that.
Ugh. Jesus.
I'd rather have the catheter up through my leg, all the way up through my torso, to my heart, put the thing in, I have three of them, stents.
Okay, yes.
You know, that catheter went straight in, straight up, and I didn't feel anything. And then, but you have to lay, you can't lift your head.
Yeah.
So you have to lay down for all those times, for all that time. Oh, and then when they take it out, they have to leave it in for like 8 hours.
Of course.
So when they come and finally take it out and they pull that shit out, even pulling it out from the leg, it was like a tension. Like, it wasn't painful, but it was like, the whole time. So I can't imagine.
That was me last week. I went for a PET scan.
Okay.
Because they're measuring the blood flow in my carotid arteries in my neck.
What's a PET scan?
You go into a machine, it's similar to an MRI.
Oh, okay.
And they apply a medication to you, and they do a reading, basically, of, you know, your blood flow. Well, the first time I had this test was about a year ago. And when you're laying in the machine, it's not totally closed like an MRI. It's open at both ends. And you have to lay there flat on your back with your arms up above your head.
I've done this.
Okay. And near the end of the test, the first time I did it, it felt like I was suffocating.
Okay.
And it was a horrible feeling.
What
caused
that feeling?
The medication and with the test. They said that's nothing unusual. So the second time when I went for the test, I was a nervous wreck about it. And I went in, and I even asked the option of doing the old stress test, the old treadmill.
Yeah.
But it's a lot longer to do.
Well, so now hold on. You're talking about the nuclear stress test.
Yeah, but they call it a PET scan.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, PET scan.
No wonder why I've done that before.
Okay.
A PET scan.
Yep.
But it's the nuclear stress test.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
Well, that's what it was.
That is the worst.
And the second time I was a nervous wreck, and I made it clear to them I was a nervous wreck, plus I suffer from random anxiety attacks, I have a heart condition. So they basically, like, not literally, but held my hand throughout the whole procedure. And this time, I felt a sensation, but not like the last time. I had, like, a little bit of a stomach ache or stomach pressure, and that was really about it. That was all I felt this
time.
That's
weird, because every time I've done that test, it feels like somebody is sitting on my chest, their hands are on my neck, squeezing.
Yeah.
Until, like, for, like, a minute.
It's only a few seconds, like 10 to 15 seconds, maybe.
And they sit there with an antidote, which to me, anything that needs an antidote is kind of scary in the first
place. I know.
But then they hit you with that, 90 seconds later, you're like, can I go home?
But yeah, so I got through that, but I was exhausted afterwards. I came home, slept for like a good hour and a half.
Yeah.
Just from all the stress, I was so tired.
That's a dentist to me.
Okay.
I can't go to that. I've
still have anxiety, but not as bad as I used to.
When I come home from the moment I get out of the car in the parking lot until the moment I'm home, I am clenching every muscle in my body at the dentist. The whole time. The whole fucking time. It's just, oh.
You think, oh, load me up with the numb stuff in my gums, load me up with the gas. They know what I'm like at the dentist now.
You got to make dentistry so that I don't know what's happening. You know what I mean? Like, are you going to put me out? No, we're only removing the wisdom tooth. That's not what I am.
Yeah, right? I know.
So go ahead.
Well, anyway, just for our listeners to know, we will not be here next week.
Why not?
Because I will be attending Tech Week rehearsals for the South Shore Theater Experience production of the 5th of July.
Which I'm sure is going to be fabulous.
I'm sure it is. Marion Waller is directing it. She's had a good winning streak with us on plays.
She's had a good winning streak going for a long time.
Yeah, yeah, she has.
I know, certainly since August Osage County.
Okay.
She kicked the shit out of that.
Oh, yeah. My favorite production that she directed was a play called The Wolves.
Oh.
And that was so freaking good. Yeah. Oh, my God. Impressive. Great ensemble work. Really was. Yeah, so we're going to have tech rehearsals for that next week. So I might be cutting this episode in half, I think. Okay. Just so I have something to put in for the week we're not here.
Okay.
But then we're going to be back on June 26th, and that's going to be our last episode before we take our summer break.
Okay.
And hopefully I will have a special guest attending.
Who?
Someone who's been here before.
Okay. Ernie?
Yeah. I'm assuming he'll be available.
Why do you sound so disappointed?
Because every episode I have with him gets a little chaotic.
That's Ernie.
We know.
When you want the
chaos. He's a one-man tornado.
If you don't want the chaos, you book John Steele.
Oh, man. So, yeah. So, that's the story. So, stay tuned. But in the meantime, let's go on to our first segment. Thank you, ladies. Yes, it's time for some heavy petting. And we have a hero dog in the news tonight.
Who is it?
It's a dog named Blue.
Okay.
A whippet. And what had happened was a man was driving with his four dogs on a remote road in northeastern Oregon, which is very mountainous, when his vehicle crashed into a steep ravine below the road.
Oh, dear. The dog's okay.
Well, what happened was he became somewhat trapped in the car. The one dog, this whippet named Blue, was smart enough to leave the crash site, traveled 4 miles back to the campsite where he was with his family. Okay. And eventually then they got help. They were able to get him and the other dogs.
Did the dogs survive?
Yes, all the dogs survived. Okay. One of the dogs had a broken hip and injured its femur. And another one broke a leg in 2 places.
Oh.
And the man himself had a fractured ankle.
Who cares?
That's not very nice.
Poor Bobby broke his hip.
Aww. Yeah.
That's kind of hurt.
They were all rescued thanks to Blue the Whippet.
Yay, Blue the Whippet.
Right?
I bet he did that 4 miles in like, what, 10 minutes?
Who knows?
How fast can a Whippet run a mile? Got to be less than 10 minutes.
But it all depends if he knows the way back exactly. You know, he's traveling there in a car. Who knows if he traveled that route before that he would be familiar enough with it.
Well, he got there.
Obviously, he did.
He got back.
Yes, he did.
I think it's all about scent.
Probably.
Yeah.
But I always make sure with Abby, though, she knows our whole neighborhood.
Abigail,
in case she ever, God forbid, ever gets loose and takes off, although she's not prone to do that.
That dog is not going anywhere.
She knows when she's got it good.
She's been homeless.
And we now move on to our dictionary of dogs, our canine compendium. And tonight we're up to the letter J.
J.
Yes.
Okay. J dogs. Wow. Jägermeister Meisterjäger?
No.
Yeah, J dog.
Yes.
I can't think of one. I can't think of one.
Not one?
Not one.
Well, you probably won't guess this one, that's for sure. It's called the Jumphund, also known as the Swedish Elkhound.
Okay, hund, hound. When are we going to get to the dog go ahead.
Well, I'm going to show you a picture of it.
Okay.
Let me see if I can get a better one than that. That's the Jomtund.
Looks like a husky.
Yeah, it's right. It does. It originates from Sweden. It's named after the province in Sweden called Jomtland. It is 22 to 26 inches tall, weighs between 66 and 77 pounds.
That's a big-ass dog.
Right? It has a long, hard double coat. Colors are gray with light gray or gray muzzle, underside, and legs. It has been known throughout Scandinavia for centuries. Historically, they were used to hunt a wide variety of game, including bear, elk, wolf, and lynx.
Jesus Christ.
And although they are calm and affectionate with its family, it can be dominant with other dogs and has a strong prey drive. That's a strong drive after prey, not a strong drive to prey.
I figured it meant that it had a strong drive to hunt.
Yes.
I didn't think it was like holding hands and doing the Our Father.
I just want to make sure it was clear to you.
To me specifically?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know why that is. Okay. Well, it could only be because you don't think I understand the difference between the two preys.
Maybe not. I was just making clear in case you did or didn't.
I'm a grown-ass man.
Yeah, and?
I don't need you to make sure or nothing.
Oh, okay. Excuse me, then.
If I don't understand something, I'll kick you.
Oh, will you now?
Yeah.
Ooh, baby.
Go ahead. Keep going.
Well, that's it for this segment. We now move on to our next segment.
Happy birthday. Many happy returns. A very happy birthday.
Yes, it's time for...
Happy birthday to you.
Yes, it's time for today's birthdays.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, my God. Why is this going on again? There we go. I think we stopped it.
Today's birthdays.
Yes, today's birthdays.
Dana Owens.
Who?
Go ahead.
Who's Dana Owens?
Go ahead. Do your thing.
Aren't you going to tell me who Dana Owens is first?
I'm going to be like you, and I'm going to say no. You figure it out.
Well, you threw this name out there, Dana Owens.
Dana Owens.
Is it her birthday?
It is.
And who is Dana Owens?
She's a singer, performer type person.
Where does she sing and perform?
Oh, she's internationally famous. She's been top of the charts.
Real? I've never heard of her before.
Yeah, you have.
I have?
Yeah.
How do I know her?
She was in Chicago, the movie.
Okay, I only saw that once.
Okay.
Who did she play in the movie?
Mama Morton.
Ah, okay. So she's an older woman.
No.
No?
No.
How old was she when she played
she
Mama Morton?
Been in her 30s.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, younger Mama Morton.
Yeah.
Usually it's an older Mama Morton.
Awesome. I heard today that he wanted Kathy Bates to play Mama Morton.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can definitely see that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, easily. I don't know if she sings or not, though.
Well, that song is not really, I mean, it's a character song.
Yeah, it's a character song.
So she doesn't have to be Audra McDonald coming back to the Broadway.
No, that's for sure. Yes, I know, playing Gypsy. No, playing Mama Rose, I mean, in Gypsy.
How can I not wait for that? Let me count the ways. Go ahead.
Well, anyway, for today's birthdays, we have three birthdays today, two dead and one living. The first one... She was born in Germany on June 12th, 1929. And then she moved with her family.
Anne Frank. Amsterdam.
Yeah, she moved to Amsterdam.
It didn't do her a damn bit of good.
Nope. And in 1942, she was given a diary. And then later, her family went into hiding in a secret annex at the office building where her father worked.
Yeah, upstairs.
Yep.
In the attic.
But they were eventually discovered, and they were all basically imprisoned. They were transported to concentration camps. In 1944, Anne and her sister Margot were transferred from Auschwitz to the Bergen-Belsen concentration camp.
Yeah, it's like going from the pan to the fire.
Yeah, and they presumably died of typhus a few months later.
Yeah.
But their father, Otto, who was the only survivor of the family, he went back to the building and spoke to his female secretaries, the ones who were helping to keep them hidden, and they had kept all their belongings, including Anne's diary.
Right. That, well, that's how the play. Well, that's how the original version of the play begins.
Yes.
Otto comes in, and he's with Meep, and we have these personal effects. Burn them, he says.
Yeah.
Burn all of it. And then she says, but Anne's diary? And he picks up Anne's diary and opens it, and the play begins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he had it published in 1947.
Then there was... There's a lot that he did not allow to be published.
Well, yeah. When it was originally published, he kept out sections... that she wrote about concerning her sexuality,
right.
About feeling another woman's breast,
dealing
with menstruation.
Yeah.
And that was originally omitted. It was later restored in later editions.
Edith didn't come off looking very well in the unedited version.
Yes, that's true too.
So, you know, he was not going to have his sainted wife. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Put down for doing whatever she would. She was probably just a bitchy old woman. You know what I mean? Like, how big has she been?
Under those circumstances.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know?
But yeah, that's... And then they have a new version of the diary that they wrote that features Mrs. Van Dam. It beefs up her part.
Okay.
And Linda Lavin played that.
Okay.
That new one, when that new version premiered on Broadway, it was Linda Lavin.
Wow.
Who was playing that. Mrs. Van Dam.
Oh, okay. We saw East Line Theater's production a few months ago. Gary Teifel was in it.
Yeah.
Waddell. Really, really good production. Really, really what? They did an excellent job with it.
Yeah, it's not easy.
It's not an easy show to do. At all. The ending is just horrible to watch.
Yeah.
It really is. But remembering Anne Frank on her birthday.
Happy birthday.
Our next birthday celebrant, also dead, born on June 12th, 1930.
Wait a minute, you said one dead, two alive.
I said two dead, one alive. But anyway, he was born and raised in Sylacauga, Alabama. But he moved to California because asthma, 1930.
Moved to California because of his asthma.
Yep. He was later discovered while working at a Santa Monica nightclub by Andy Griffith.
What is it about Alabama that makes it secondary to California for an asthmatic?
I don't know. I don't know what the correlation is.
Okay.
But anyway, he was discovered by Andy Griffith, and he later joined the Andy Griffith Show in 1963 in the third season, playing a dim-witted gas station attendant.
Oh, that's, what's his name? The Gomer Pyle.
Gomer Pyle.
That's Jim Nabors. It's his birthday?
It's his birthday today.
But he's dead.
He died in 2017.
Okay.
But his character grew so popular, it was spun off into its own series, Gomer Pyle USMC.
Then there was the Jim Nabors show.
Yep, then after that, there was the short-lived, but the Jim Nabors show.
Yeah.
Another variety hour. Yes, he was. He signed a recording contract with Columbia Records in 1965. He recorded 28 albums. Here's something I didn't know. He sang every year at the Indy 500 from 1972 to 2014.
Why?
I don't know. They asked him to sing there once, and they kept asking him to come back.
What did he sing?
I'm going to play that for you in a minute.
Oh, I can't wait.
I know. But he also appeared on every opening episode of the Carol Burnett Show, because she considered him her good luck charm.
So wait, she was... Say that again.
She appeared on every opening season episode of the Carol Burnett Show.
So he was a guest for every opening episode.
Yep.
Okay, I did not realize that.
Yeah, because she called him her good luck charm.
Okay.
Of course, there was a long-standing rumor that he had married actor Rock Hudson back in the early 1970s.
Yeah.
Of course, at the time, both men were closeted. And Hudson said, the story originated with a group of middle-aged gay men who lived in Huntington Beach, California, who would have these annual get-togethers, and they would send out joke invitations. And that one year, they invited them to attend the marriage of Rock Hudson and Jim Nabors, at which Hudson would take the surname of Nabor's character, Gomer Pyle, and would be known as Rock Pyle. But because of that rumor, Hudson and neighbors made sure never to appear together.
That's crazy.
Right?
He's a real gomer.
Yes, he was. But he married his partner of 38 years, a retired fireman named Stan Cadwallader, in 2013.
Cadwallader?
Cadwallader, yes.
Cadwallader.
Yes, that's his last name.
Okay.
And although he had been closeted all this time, he didn't keep it too well hidden. Because he, back in 1978, when he sang at the Indy 500, he invited along his partner at that time.
Yeah, but what would that mean? Unless it was like, did he introduce this guy as his wife? Like,
probably not. Probably said it was his friend.
Yeah, so what, Jim Nabors can come sing at the Indy 500, but he can't bring a friend?
Yeah, but back then, I think, you know, a lot of them knew, you know? It was like an open secret, like Liberace.
Charles Nelson Reilly.
Mm-hmm. You know, all of them back then.
So RuPaul, I'm rewatching old episodes, and RuPaul comes out in his suit to begin the episode, and he goes, he's wearing a suit. He has the most fabulous suits. So he's wearing this ridiculous suit, and he's got a scarf around his neck, and it's not in me. He introduces himself as Ru Charles Nelson Reilly.
Oh, my God. But I'm going to...
And I'll tell you this.
What's that?
He asks the queens if they knew who Charles Nelson Reilly was.
Yes.
After they all laughed at the joke.
Okay.
Not a single one of them knew who Charles Nelson Reilly was.
I believe it.
I do, too. So why are you laughing?
Yeah. To curry favor.
Ruth said something funny, so we laughed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why. That's exactly why. We all know they're full of shit. But here's Jim Nabors at 2014, his final performance at the Indy 500.
This gentleman has become a cherished icon on millions watching, and it never time performing back home again. Back home again. And it seems that I can see the gleaming candlelight still burning dry through the sycamores. For me, the new mown hay sends out its fragrance through the fields I used to roam. When I dream about the moonlight on the Wabash, how I long for my Indiana home.
He's 77 years old.
It was awful. He shouldn't be singing.
Let me show you another cut of him singing.
Oh, please sing. Spare me.
No, I will not. This is from the Gomer Pyle show.
To dream the impossible dream. To find the unspeakable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow.
Now play a clip of him speaking.
To run. Oh, you want to hear a clip of him speaking?
with the air of his singing voice in your head, to hear him speak is really something else.
Oh, here we go. He's doing a whip commercial.
Hey, Sergeant, you want some of this new Cool Whip topping?
Later, Pyle. I'm getting in shape in case our Cool Whip contest winner's a girl. Anybody can win a trip to Hollywood and a guest appearance on a show.
With us?
Yeah. What a prize. Just send your name and address and the side label, or write the words Cool Whip on a piece of paper. Get full details at your grocer's freezer. Over 1,000 other prizes, too.
Cool Whip.
Pyle!
I know, that beautiful baritone tone voice coming out of that.
Come here, you.
So I gather you're not a fan of the vocal intonations of Jim Nabors.
No, I mean, he's fine. It's just that, yeah, I guess I'm not.
Well, anyway, he died at his home back in 2017 at the age of 87 in Honolulu.
Good for him.
Right. Then we have our last birthday celebrant, the living one.
Okay.
Born on June 12th, 1959 in Ontario.
All right. What else?
What else?
There's probably a couple of people born on this day, on that year in Ontario.
Yes. Well, I'm going to tell you some more about him.
All right.
He was enrolled at York University in Canada, but was asked to leave in his third year for being disruptive.
Oh.
He then joined the comedy troupe, the Love Cats. In 1984, he became a member of a comedy troupe called the Kids in the Hall.
Oh.
Which aired on HBO here in the United States starting in 1989.
This is one of those Canadian comics.
He's gay.
He's Kids in the Hall.
I think he was the only gay member of the troupe.
Okay, doesn't help me.
He was best known for playing Buddy Cole, the gay vivant about town.
Don't know who that is.
You don't know. He also was known for playing Queen Elizabeth II.
Okay.
The secretary named Kathy, of the two Kathys. And Italian actress Francesca Fiori.
So there's no reason I would know who this person is.
That's a shame, you know. You never watched Kids in the Hall?
I remember it being on.
Okay.
I wasn't so much into sketches back then.
He also appeared on the Larry Sanders Show regularly as Hank Kingsley's personal assistant.
Nobody cares anymore.
Well, there's also this tidbit of information I didn't know about him. When he was in secondary school, he was the witness to a mass school shooting.
Okay.
In which a 16-year-old student shot and killed two people and wounded 13 and then killed himself.
In Canada?
This is in Canada, 1975.
Wow. That shouldn't have happened.
And at one point in the classroom that this guy was in, the shooter came in, shot the teacher, and wounded two other students. And it was his favorite teacher. She was only 24 years old and pregnant.
Wow.
But that's not... What?
Dead?
Yeah.
All right.
But that's not all that happened to this guy we're talking about.
Whose name shall, for some reason, forever remain a secret.
I'll tell you after this. In 2000, he was living with his boyfriend, a French documentarian, who had smuggled footage out of Iraq to make a satiric political documentary called Uncle Saddam.
Okay, sounds fun.
Yeah, well, on November 1st of that year, their home in West Hollywood was firebombed.
Okay. You know, that's what happens.
I guess so. But this person's name is Scott Thompson.
I never would have gotten that. I don't know who he is.
Well, I'm going to play you a sketch that he was in.
Oh, can't wait.
One of my favorite, as Buddy Cole. As soon as I can find my playlist, here we go.
Show business is full of actors, singers, dancers, and models. And then there's me, actor, singer, dancer, model, Canadian. I can make the word Canadian sound sexy. Most people think that I'm from the States. And even worse, they think that I'm from New York. Because I'm so sexy. But New York isn't sexy, it's sleazy. Americans know as much about Canada as straight people do about gays.
I recognize you.
Americans arrive at the border with skis in July. And straight people think that being gay is just a phase. A very long phase.
I love when he plays this character. He still performs as his character from time to time. But yes, that was Scott Thompson.
I didn't think he was very funny.
You didn't think it was very funny? What the hell's wrong with you?
Did you hear me laugh?
Obviously not. You have no sense of humor.
Nope.
Damn.
Nope. Not when it comes to Canadians.
Oh, what is your problem with Canadians?
Well, nothing. I love Canadians.
What's your problem with Canadian humor?
There is none.
Oh, there is none.
They're just not funny.
They're not funny?
No. They're like.
You know, we do have Canadian listeners, you know.
I'm not telling them anything they don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a very dry humor.
Okay.
Like,
well, don't you can you find British humor funny, right?
Which is also extremely dry.
Yes, but you find that funny, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But why don't you find Canadian humor funny then? So that's also dry, like English humor.
I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't know. It's not funny.
Well, to our birthday celebrants, we say. Happy birthday. We now move on to our next segment.
Bring out your day.
Yes,
what?
Yes, it's time for Bring Out Your Day. But we only have one decedent this week, one that I never heard of, and I'm sure you never heard of.
Why are you sure?
Well, let's see if you heard of her then. Her name is Lynn Conway. She died on June 9th of this year at the age of, well, she was born on in 1938, so I'd say she was about 86 years old when she died.
If only there was a way to figure out how long it's been from her birth
to her death.
To her death.
I wonder.
I guess we'll never know.
I guess we'll never know.
Okay.
But she grew up in Westchester County in New York. She earned bachelor's and master's degrees from Columbia University in the 1960s. She then spent time living on the fringes of the gay community in San Francisco. But she did not identify as a gay man, but as a woman. After graduating from Columbia, she went to work on a secret project for IBM, which was seeking to develop the world's fastest supercomputer. At the time, Conway was trying to live as a man and married a woman and had two daughters. They later divorced, but her ex-wife denied her access to her daughters after she transitioned. And she didn't see her daughters for 14 years. She underwent gender transition surgery in 1968. And at first, IBM was supportive, but then they decided that they couldn't have a trans employee and she was fired. IBM later apologized to her in 2020.
Did they give her her job back?
No, but she didn't need it. Because
they gave her back pay?
No, she did not. They did not. But she
so they said, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm sorry we treated you like a piece of shit.
Yes.
Have a nice life.
Almost 60 years later. Well, anyway, she restarted her career without letting anyone but a select few people know that she was not a cisgender woman. In 1973, she was recruited by the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center, where she led research on new methods for computer chip design. Her work led to a revolution in microchip design and manufacturing. In 1983, she joined the Department of Defense to conduct research into machine intelligence technology. And she received an award from Defense Secretary Caspar Weinberger for her work.
Well, I bet he would love to have known that that was a woman.
In 1985, she became a professor of computer science and electrical engineering and associate dean of the engineering school at the University of Michigan. She retired in 1999. In 2000, she came out as a trans woman and became an activist. She was named a hero in 2009 by the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, and Time honored her in 2014 as one of the most influential Libidoquois people in the United States. She has been a recipient of many awards for her work as a computer pioneer and as a trans activist. She is survived by her husband, Rogers, that they met in 1987 and married in 2002. Quite a life.
Today's her birthday.
She died this week on June 9th. at the age of 86.
Okay.
That's quite a life, though.
Yeah.
For a trans woman.
Yeah.
Right?
That's plenty. It's
very impressive.
Yeah. Good for her.
She overcame a lot, and she became a pioneer in computer technology. I'd say that's impressive.
Okay.
Wouldn't you?
Nobody asked you or me.
I'm asking you right now.
Yeah, it's impressive, Patrick. Yeah, it's impressive. Okay? She's a computer geek.
Yes.
Okay. So you're probably some nerdy little boy. Never mind, Patrick.
Anyway, to Lynn Conway, we say, rest in peace. Thank you for your achievements.
So I didn't have any lyrics.
That's okay. Next time. We now move on to our next segment. Today in history. And today in history, in 1978, this man was sentenced to 25 years to life in prison for the 6.44 caliber killings he committed in New York.
Oh, he was called the Son of Sam.
Yes, he was.
44 caliber killer.
Yes.
He blamed the dog. Oh, God, Sam Berkowitz.
Close. David Berkowitz.
David Berkowitz.
Yep.
Okay.
I remember the day he was caught.
I remember that summer.
Oh, that was
really crazy.
A paranoid summer.
It was crazy.
It really was.
Girls was changing their hair.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a crazy time. That really was. But yeah, he was sentenced. Is he still alive or is he dead now?
David Berkowitz?
You're the serial killer expert.
Well, I don't know. I'm far from an expert. I just, I don't know if he's still alive.
Oh, no.
I don't know. Who knows? Somebody knows.
I'm sure somebody knows somewhere.
If only there was a way.
If only there was a way to find out.
I guess
we'll if only there was a bank of information that we could access to find out.
You know, the library is closed.
Yes, I guess so.
So
it's after 9.
Yeah. I mean, you can't expect those women to be there all night.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, today on June 12th, 2016, 29-year-old Omar Mateen shot and killed 49 people and wounded 53 more in a mass shooting at the gay nightclub Pulse in Orlando, Florida.
Yeah.
Before Orlando police officers fatally shot him after a 3-hour standoff.
Can you imagine?
Horrible.
How horrifying that must be.
They said that was the biggest attack on gay people since the 1973 fire in New Orleans at
the upstairs club.
The upstairs lounge.
Clown's lounge.
Yeah. It was the deadliest terror attack in the United States since 9/11, and was also the deadliest mass shooting until the 2017 Las Vegas shooting.
That was another crazy fucking.
Oh my God, that was. I've seen video of that, which is horrifying.
That's an open air. I mean, that was crazy.
That was.
But I remember Pulse distinctly. It's one of those never forget moments.
Yeah.
Well, horrible time.
Yep. Well, anyway, as a result of that shooting, there was a Libidigua gun rights group called the Pink Pistols at 36 chapters around the nation, and it tripled its membership after that shooting.
All right.
And the city of Orlando had planned to purchase the nightclub to make a memorial there, but the owner was emotionally attached to it, didn't want to sell it. And then announced back in 2022 that they would put a memorial site museum there. I don't know if that's happened or not.
They should open that shit up. They should go back to Pulse.
What do you mean?
That they should, with the memorial
being
a part of it,
yeah,
open it back up as a fucking nightclub.
Yeah.
And you have your memorial, you have your thing. You know, what is it? It's a statue outside, it's a wall inside, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Open that fucking ship right back up.
Yeah.
They're changing the name of the Christopher Street Station.
What are they calling it?
Stonewall something. It's got like this name.
Okay.
But to take Christopher Street away?
That's a shame.
It's a shame.
I mean, that's Christopher Street is automatically associated.
It's an iconic.
At least the street's still there, thank God.
The street is still there, yeah. But yeah, it's not the Christopher Street station anymore. Or won't be.
Yeah.
Oh, silly.
Yeah. Well, that's it for today in history. I think that's enough. Bad news.
I'm bored to tears.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, sure.
We now move on to our next segment.
What day is it? Could you please tell me? What day is it?
Yes, time for what day is it?
Cheesecake Day.
No.
Day of the Pom-Pom.
No.
International Day of Go Fuck Yourself.
No. Oh, I like that day.
It's a good one.
Go Fuck Yourself
Go Day. Fuck Yourself Day.
No, today is Loving Day.
Oh, I knew about this Loving Day. Yeah, but it's not what you think it is.
No, it's not. It's an annual celebration of the anniversary of the 1967 U.S. Supreme Court decision in the case of Loving versus Virginia, which struck down all anti-miscegenation laws.
You could just say interracial.
I could have said that.
Interracial, and you wouldn't have stumbled. And then nobody would have come for your law degree. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, at that time, there were still anti-mixed-race marriage laws in 16 U.S. states. And they were basically all struck down at that time.
No, they weren't. Alabama? Not until 2000.
No, that was probably officially on the books, but they couldn't enforce it.
Mm, that's true. That's true.
Couldn't enforce it.
They didn't take it off the books until 2000.
I'm not surprised.
Mind your fucking business.
Right?
This is the ultimate in mind your fucking business. Because this is just mind your fucking business. Shut up. You know what I mean?
This is what, almost 60 years ago they made this decision.
57
it's hard ago. To comprehend that black and white people or people of different races were not allowed to get married.
The law passed in 67 is the year I was born.
Okay.
So it's 57 years old, which is not long enough for a law like that, as far as I'm concerned. That it took that long for humanity or the American people to come up to that is in a place that describes itself as a melting pot and that welcomes people from all over and then makes it illegal for them to become engaged with each other.
Yeah.
You could talk to each other. You could work for me. You could come build my roof. Well, you can't marry my daughter.
Right? I know. It's hard to picture today.
Unfortunately, Patrick, it ain't hard to picture today.
Well, no.
I have no problem picturing it.
Yeah.
It's a disgraceful thing that never went away.
No. But with this decision, it was another foundation for the decision that legalized same-sex marriage, you know?
Well, yeah, it's with this, what is it, those non-indicated rights, those
Non-enumerated.
Non-enumerated, right. That Clarence Thomas wants to come for, except for this decision. This one.
Because he wrote about that, I forget what cases was, saying, yeah, we should look at these cases.
Yeah, right. No, it was the abortion case.
Yeah, it was his concurrence.
There are other things we should go back and look at, including... And, yeah, everything except fucking Loving.
Yeah. It's like, how convenient, because you're in a mixed-race marriage.
Yeah, fuck.
I know, all please. Oh, please, I know.
They are coming for Alito.
Yeah, we're going to get to that in the next segment, which we might as well get into now. So let's go take a look into my briefs. Yes, and before we get into the Supreme Court, I wanted to get into a federal court decision in Florida.
Oh, God.
Where a federal judge ruled that Florida restrictions on medical care for transgender children are unconstitutional.
That just happened like today.
Well, it actually happened 2 days earlier, but for some reason, it was in the news again today. Okay. I don't know why. Okay. It was very weird.
Okay.
But the judge wrote, they are not free to discriminate against transgender individuals just for being transgender. In time, discrimination against transgender individuals will diminish, just as racism and misogyny have diminished. To paraphrase a civil rights advocate from an earlier time, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. Now, this judge, last year, he struck down Florida's ban on Medicaid covering treatment for gender dysphoria, which the state is appealing, but the state of Florida is appealing that decision and this current decision.
Yeah.
That's why I think it made the news today, because Florida announced they were appealing it.
Oh, okay. They responded to the judgment, I guess.
Yeah.
All right.
So eventually, you know, this is going to go before the Supreme Court, okay, more than likely.
It's all set up.
Yeah.
It's all set up. They were brilliant. It was diabolical and it was brilliant. And it worked. Here we are.
Here we are. But next, before we get into the Supreme Court, I wanted to bring up the verdict in the Hunter Biden trial.
From what I understand, when they spoke to the jurors said they had no choice but to convict him.
Yeah.
That, you know, everything...
It was a plain violation of the law.
It was clearly a violation. But that the case should not have been brought, that it was clearly a hit job.
Which is the same thing that the conservatives are saying about Trump and his trial.
Yeah, for which he was
convicted.
Yeah. So, you know...
I know one juror said he shouldn't get jail time for this.
I don't think he'll go to jail. I don't think he'll go to jail. It's I don't know.
I don't know either.
Do you believe that fucking Steve Bannon filed another don't make me go to jail yet thing?
It's been 2 years.
2 years.
Since he was convicted for contempt. And that motherfucker is still out. What is wrong with our justice system? I don't fucking get it.
He is the most despicable. And you know what his argument is? He is too integral to the Trump campaign.
Bullshit.
He can't go to jail. Because
Trump fired him at one point.
The Trump campaign right now is he's too important to the campaign to be put in jail. Could you imagine?
Yeah. I know. It's like, give me a fucking break.
I can't go to jail. I'm the president of the PTA. You know what? Nobody says you have to run for him. You don't have to be his team.
I know. Job of the butt, I call him, because that's what he is.
He's just disgusting.
He is disgusting. And what he says is disgusting.
Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, the Hunter Biden verdict, I was not surprised by the verdict.
No.
But now, of course, Republicans are going to use it as, well, this is evidence of the Biden crime family at work.
It's not evidence of the dual fucking justice system, though, is it? You know what I mean? It's not like Biden is coming after Trump.
Oh, Trump is saying that Biden was treated with kid gloves.
Yeah.
Because they offered him a plea deal at one point, and then the judge, who was a Trump appointee, basically put a kibosh on the plea deal. So they withdrew from it then. They went to trial.
Right. So, yeah. I don't know. It's just all so fucking crazy. Biden, in this thing with his son, could do any number of things.
Well, he's already announced that he will not pardon his son.
He won't pardon him, and he won't question the verdict. It's a local. It's not a federal.
It's a federal case.
It is a federal case.
So
he could say...
And he still faces trial on tax evasion charges.
In California, yeah.
Yeah.
I know. It just seems to me like he's trying to do what's right inside the legal system, and the other one is doing everything.
Well, if it was the other way around, if Trump was president, and one of his sons was convicted of a crime, you know, the next day after the verdict, he would have pardoned him.
Yeah.
Come on. There's no doubt about that.
He wouldn't have gotten to a trial. If it was a federal case, he would have told the what's his name, not to do it.
Yeah, the Attorney General.
The Attorney General. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who they fucked today, too.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in the next segment. So that's it on the Hunter Biden trial, I guess. Not much more to say.
Yeah, I mean, he did it. Whatever.
I feel bad for him. I mean, the man obviously had a really bad drug problem, you know?
Yeah, and they went after him. They you know, we still don't know anything about his laptop.
Oh, please. This has nothing to know.
I know. It's just...
It's a nothing burger.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
But now we can talk about the U.S. Supreme Court and this fucking arrogant son of a bitch Sam Alito.
And his cunt wife.
Yeah.
And don't cut that. I want that cunt left in there.
It'll be in there.
She is despicable.
Yeah.
Pete Buttigieg wouldn't have to help tonight.
Oh, I know. I saw that.
He's fantastic. And he's so calm. And he's so neat.
I wish he was running for president.
So do I. And he's so reasonable and intelligent and...
He'll kill anybody in the debate. Okay. Anybody. I mean, I see him do it on Fox News.
Debating?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You can't.
He debates these people on Fox News. I mean, come on. You can't win against this guy.
He's too smart.
Yep.
Yeah, she has to look at a pride flag, so she wants a Jesus' broken-hearted flag or the Blessed Heart of Jesus flag.
She wants him to have a flag with the word shame on it.
Okay, yeah.
The Italian word for shame.
So in the meantime, you put the national distress symbol up, the upside-down American flag.
Yeah.
As a distress signal, because you have to see, off in the distance, a pride flag.
Well, that's the thing. Her putting up that distress flag had nothing to do with the pride flag, had nothing to do with the argument with the neighbors, because the argument with the neighbors didn't occur until months afterwards.
Yeah.
So that Alito's old story is bullshit.
She's awful. I've never seen her until now.
No, never heard of her until now.
I can't believe how awful these women are. Between Ginny fucking Thomas.
Yeah.
This woman.
And how low can you go when you got to throw your wife under the bus
to
protect yourself?
I am saying.
You know?
My wife did it. Well, are you kidding me?
And then with the secret tape recording of him. It's like this man's bias couldn't be more obvious if you tried. You know?
He doesn't try to hide it.
No, not anymore.
He doesn't care.
I remember years ago I watched him give a speech at a Federalist Society. On all the anti-gay things he was saying. And I'm just like, why is this guy in a court? It's disgusting.
Yeah.
I've lost all faith in the Supreme Court.
In the Supreme Court, yeah.
No respect for his decisions anymore.
Like, what I'm waiting for now is, to be honest with you, they're going to come down and they're going to grant him his immunity or part of his immunity. And my question is going to be, that transfers now to Biden.
Yeah.
So what's to stop Biden from taking this newfound immunity that the court has bestowed upon president?
Yeah.
And putting his orange, pathetic ass in jail? What's to stop him from annihilating in all possible...
If you adopted the legal theories that Trump's lawyers propose... Yeah.
Nothing. He's free to do that.
Yeah. And the court's not going to go that far. But they're going to make some loopholes for Trump. You know they are.
I am sitting on the... They're going to free him. They're going to give him all the immunity he wants. As ridiculous as some of it is, they're going to give him all of it. That means... I hope that... See, this is the problem with Joe Biden and the Democrats. He would never be slimy enough to then take all these newfound powers that he has and use them against...
No.
He wouldn't do with it what Trump intends to do with it.
Of course not. Yeah. Of course not.
Sometimes I wish Democrats were Republicans.
Well, I just wish they fought back better.
Yeah.
They're terrible at fighting back.
Yeah, you know.
They are terrible promoting themselves. They really, really are.
Interested in following the rules and doing things correctly, and I appreciate that.
And you just concede everything to the propaganda machine that's out there by the corporate media that's just going along with these conservatives, fascists, basically. I can't even call them conservatives anymore. They're fascists. They don't want a democracy anymore.
No, but we're the fascists.
We're the fascists. I know, right?
The whole thing is a no-you-are.
Yeah.
It's like a third-ground playground fight. No, you are. I know you are, but what am I?
I know, right? Yeah, doesn't leave me with a lot of hope for this country, I'll tell you. No. It's very discouraging.
You'll be dead soon, don't worry.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Don't worry about it.
Pain in my ass.
We're both going to be dead soon. What the fuck difference does it make?
Oh, okay.
Let them do whatever the fuck they want. I don't care. I got no dog in this fight. I got no money, I got no kids, I got no property.
I'm more worried about the planet at this point. Our planet's going under, man.
No, the planet is going to shake us off like a dog with fleas.
We can only hope.
That's that. He keeps trying. He keeps sending us all of these fabulous things like tsunamis that wipe out countries and fucking viruses that destroy populations. Earth is trying, man. Earth is going to George Carlin did a thing about this. Like,
yes, he did.
How dare you think you can save the Earth? The Earth doesn't need you to save it. You know what I mean? It just doesn't. It's such a ego thing to think that you're going to save the Earth.
Yeah.
You know, what if the
Earth... we can try to lessen the damage that we're doing to the Earth.
Yeah, perhaps. The Earth is going to rebound. Look at something
we
like...
We hope.
If you can see... Where was that? Chernobyl?
Right.
And they've evacuated the entire city. Nobody's lived in Chernobyl.
Yeah.
If you can see Chernobyl now, it's green. It's got wildlife.
Yeah.
Of course, the wildlife have three tails.
Yeah, I was just saying.
But there's wildlife there. It's a thriving.
Would you want to live there?
No.
Of course not.
Because it's not safe for me to live there. But that's what the Earth did.
Okay.
The Earth was like, no, fuck you.
But you can't grow any crops there, so the Earth
doesn't didn't do crops, anything. Crops are to keep humans alive.
Oh, okay.
Right? Aren't they? Isn't that why?
Yes.
Crops?
Yes.
Otherwise, it's just a fucking weed.
So just fuck the humans and their crops?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's what Earth is going to do. That's what Earth has been trying to do.
Okay.
And Earth is going to be successful. Even if it has to throw itself in front of a satellite fucking meteor something. It's going to do it to get rid of us. Yep. Bigger than we are, it's more powerful than we are.
Yes, it is.
So, what was the cement? What if all that nature wanted was 17,000 tons of cement, and now that it has it, it's just going to get rid of all the people. I don't know. That wasn't funny.
Well, at this point, we're going to take a little break in the episode, since we're going to split this in two. So this is the end of part one. Stay tuned for part two. Oh, I will. There will be music.
If you want your way, just remember what to say. Shazam. 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 Shazam.